Well, I want to take just a few minutes and share a message on the Christmas theme about Jesus, primarily, of course. First of all, I just want to say it is so great to see so many folks here in COVID. We have not regularly had this many people in worship. It is good to see all of you, and my goodness, you all look sharp. You are dressed for Christmas, definitely. How many of you, like me, have on Christmas socks? Anyone? Christmas socks here this evening? A couple hands go up. All right, great. All right, so we've already been reading God's word this evening, and just want to share some thoughts on it. Let's take a moment just to pray. Heavenly Father, speak to us tonight, not just through the passages we've read, but through the music, the prayers, this message, the sharing of the light later in the service, Lord, all of it, God, we pray that you'd be speaking to us this evening and drawing us into a deeper understanding of who you are in relationship with you. We pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, many of you, if you're a part of Rose Hill and here regularly on Sundays, you know that I tore the meniscus in my right knee late last February when skiing with a few friends. And I've shared that with you. I've shared with you a little bit more some other things that happened that day skiing as well. But there's one more aspect of that day that I have not shared slash confessed. And so I want to do that this evening. I want to start with that. So there were four of us skiing that day. And at one point, this is actually on the way up to the mountain, as we were driving up the highway to get there, we were just, just shooting the breeze. It was early in the morning. We were trying to stay awake as much as anything. And we started talking about skiing with our families and with our kids and wives and so forth. And I had taken my kids skiing, I think three of them anyway, a couple weeks prior to that, and I told them how one of them had, and we didn't realize this until we got all the way to the mountain, one of them had forgotten their boots, left the ski boots at home. You can't ski without ski boots. You have to have them. They keep you attached to your skis, and you can't just wear regular boots. If you're not a skier, you might not know that, but that's the deal. So I had to rent boots for this child, and it was so frustrating. It's like, you own boots. They were sitting there in the living room right by the doors. We got out to walk out. All you had to do is grab your boots, your skis, and your poles, and and your other stuff, and get it into the car. It's not rocket science. And I shared that with the guys, how frustrating it was, and they totally understood. They're like, well, yeah, it's not that difficult to get your skier together. How could you forget when you're going skiing, your ski gear? I told them I was pretty sure that trait had come from my wife, and not me. Actually, I didn't make that comment about Gwen. The rest of the story is true, but that comment I did not make. So after we parked the car, we got out to put our gear on, and I discovered that I had forgotten my ski coat. I kid you not. And my helmet. And my goggles. And my gloves. I had forgotten, like, a third of the ski gear that you need. I mean, fortunately, I was wearing my ski pants and long johns and stuff, or who knows, I might have left those at home. The skis, boots, and poles made it into the car, but not the other stuff that keeps you warm. And fortunately, the guy who drove us, and fortunately we went in his car, not somebody else's, he had extras of all those things. The coat was really big on me, but the helmet was slightly loose, but it worked. So I was fortunate to be able to go skiing, although it was the day I tore my meniscus, so maybe it was a sign from God I wasn't supposed to go. I don't know. But there you go. So besides, lessons in humility and the importance of having good friends who will bail you out when you need bailing out, it's a good reminder that sometimes we go through life and we forget the important things. Like, we forget the stuff that we actually need, the stuff that matters. Like, if you're going skiing, you need that stuff to go skiing. Well, this Advent, we've been in a series here at the church called Forgotten Christmas, where we've been looking at some of the forgotten people of Christmas. There are people who are on the margins of the Christmas stories recorded in Luke and Matthew. They're not in your nativity scenes. If you have a nativity scene at home, like on the mantle of your fireplace or an entryway table or something like that, you don't have the people in there that we've been looking at in this series. But they're still important. There's a lot that we've learned from them. So we're continuing that tonight. And tonight we turn to one final person who is often forgotten during this time of the year, and that is Jesus. We might think that it's a bit odd to consider Jesus as a forgotten character of Christmas. You know, like ski gear when you go up for a day in the mountains. Who could possibly forget Jesus at Christmas, right? It seems almost impossible. After all, Christmas exists because of Jesus. That's the reason that Christmas happens. Christmas starts with him. And yet he is frequently forgotten. How does this happen? Well, I want to say just a couple of things about that. Actually, one thing about that. No, two things about that. First off, and the first one is a word of encouragement for any of us who have ever forgotten Jesus at Christmas or any other time of the year. First off, even Jesus' own earthly parents, Mary and Joseph, and they are central figures in the Christmas narrative, of course. They are definitely in your manger scene, your nativity scene at home. They once forgot him as well. So let's not be so surprised when we do, and not also maybe not beat ourselves up over it. You may remember what happened when they did this. It was a few years later. Jesus is 12 years old. They go up to Jerusalem, as they do every year for the Passover celebration, which is a huge celebration. Like historians believe Jerusalem swelled to about 6 times of its normal population. Okay, so like the greater Puget Sound region is about 3 million, maybe a little over 3 million people. So you're talking like 18 million people in Seattle. That's like Los Angeles population is getting airdropped into Seattle for a week. So they're up there in Jerusalem for that, and they leave at the end of the week celebration to go home with just a caravan of people, friends, family, other people from their town, from other towns along the way that they're headed to or beyond where they're from probably. And when they get to their first night where they're supposed to, where they're going to stay to camp out, they realized, oh my goodness, we forgot Jesus. They forgot him. They left him in Jerusalem with all these, you know, still a lot of those people still around. So if you've forgotten Jesus ever, you know, we're in good company with Mary and Joseph. And maybe that's you. Maybe you have forgotten Jesus. All of us have at some point, I guarantee you. I have. Maybe for you it's an ongoing thing. Maybe it's a conscientious thing even, and almost like an intentional decision to just set him aside. Or maybe you just kind of wandered away. Maybe there's no intentionality about it, but it's just kind of happened over time that Jesus has just kind of been forgotten. I'm not here to judge or condemn anyone for that. But you're in good company. Know that, okay? Just know that you're in good company because Mary and Joseph once forgot Jesus as well. The second thing I want to say about this is that Christmas has become such a worldwide cultural phenomenon, you know, beyond the birth of Jesus, that it's easy to forget him, right? Jesus gets buried under all this other stuff, like gifts, trees, Santa, Christmas parties, nutcracker performances, Snowflake Lane, you know, we've got that here, other Christmas parades in other communities, Christmas movies like Elf, I don't know. What's the one with Bruce Willis? That's got to be a Christmas party, right? Or a Christmas movie, right? I'm totally drawing a blank right now. Die Hard. It happens at Christmas. That's a Christmas movie, right? And as you've heard me say before, I don't think most of these things, like all this stuff I just listed, it's not bad. These aren't bad things. Like cultural things generally aren't bad in and of themselves. If they are, then quite frankly, we shouldn't be decorating our houses any other time of the year. Or watching movies or TV shows any other time of the year, or attending parades, or going to ballet performances, or other arts kinds of things. We shouldn't do that any of the rest of the year. Because all those things that we do around like Advent and Christmas season, is just Christmasized versions of everything we do the rest of the year. It's the same just with this theme of gifts and other stuff that we've tied into it. But even though that stuff isn't bad in and of itself, sometimes Jesus nonetheless gets forgotten in the midst of it. And that definitely is not good. It isn't. In fact, there's a lot that obscures Jesus, you know, a lot of the year, let's be honest. And not just for people who don't believe Jesus, haven't turned to him as their Lord and Savior. It happened to those of us who do follow Jesus as well. We forget Jesus sometimes. He gets forgotten in our ambitions. He gets forgotten in our politics. Man, the last like 22 months, I think he's gotten forgotten in conversations about COVID. He gets forgotten in our hobbies, our pride, our anger. We forget Jesus in our brokenness. We forget him in our heartache, our grief, our pain. He's forgotten so frequently in so many different facets of life or seasons of life. And he's there with us. His Holy Spirit is there. Jesus is there through, you know, through the Spirit, but we fail to turn to him or acknowledge his presence or rely on him in those situations. And I don't know where each of you are. I mean, I know you're here tonight physically, but I don't know where you are in relationship to that, in relationship to Jesus. I know where some of you are who are part of church regularly, and even those of you who are, I may not know, you know, a lot, of course. Maybe you're just checking off a box because you think you ought to, you know, by being here tonight. I don't know if you've forgotten Jesus somewhere along the way or at different times or just, you know, comprehensively, just kind of let him go. Only you know that, I guess. The fact that we are all here tonight means we haven't maybe like totally forgotten. Like at least we know Christmas is about Jesus, and a church is a good place to go and be a part of that, right? So wherever you are on that, you know, again, I'm not judging. We here at Rose Hill don't judge. We're glad you're here. This is where, if you're not a part of the Rose Hill Church family, we are so glad you're here tonight. And I encourage you, you know, to be here on Sunday mornings as well to help you remember Jesus and re-engage with him. We all need that encouragement. I need that encouragement. We all need that encouragement. And if that's you, if you've forgotten Jesus a lot, or maybe you've remembered Jesus pretty well, but you know, you can acknowledge, hey, there's been times I probably could have been more reliant upon him, could have been more consistent with him. Well, there's a third point to this. And I have here the third reason. It's really the second reason we forget. The third point is, as I've numbered these along here. But the second reason we forget Jesus is because we don't listen to the angel's command, be not afraid. We heard it in Luke 2:10. It was also in the Matthew reading we just had when the angel appears to Joseph in a dream. In fact, not only does the angel say that, you know, be not afraid to the shepherds, that's where it is in Luke 10. It's the angel speaking to the shepherds there. Not only does the angel say it there, but also, as I said, in Matthew with Joseph, also with Zechariah, and also with Elizabeth. That's part of they're part of the Christmas story. We've looked at them some over the last few weeks. Mary gets it. And actually, it's not with Elizabeth. I just spoke about Zechariah and Mary are visited by the angel. And each time, it's be not afraid, or do not be afraid, or fear not. And that command, those, you know, there's slight variations on it, I guess, but it's basically the same command, is actually the most frequent command in Scripture. That be not afraid of Luke 2:10, the Greek reads me phobia. We get, you know, phobia. You're familiar with that word a little bit, like fear of stuff, right? That's just phobias. We have them. Arachnophobia and whatever other phobias, I don't know. That's how it looks in the Greek language, me phobia. And either that exact wording or something very similar to it, the same words or parallel kinds of words, occur over 100 times. Now, in the Old Testament, it's Hebrew, of course, not Greek. But 100 times in the Old Testament, like 102 or 3 times, and over 40 in the New Testament. Between the Old and New Testament together, it's almost 150 times. More than any other command in Scripture, to be not afraid, fear not, have no fear. You know, when God invites us into a future with him, it can at first induce fear. Whenever an angel appears to someone in Scripture, there's an initial reaction of fear, and therefore the command, fear not, don't be afraid. And they are commands, by the way, this is not a suggestion. Not to be afraid. It is a command. But then the command is always followed by something more. by a word of encouragement or another command, like be strong, stand firm, go forth, or I bring good news. So the command is not telling us to pretend that fear isn't real or there isn't something that might make us feel kind of afraid or that there's no reason to be afraid. It's telling us not to let that fear get the best of us. Don't let your fear keep you from what God is calling you into. Don't let your fear keep you from following Jesus. Don't let your fear keep you from knowing Jesus to begin with. Step forward into what God is calling you to do. Step forward in faith with Jesus. Don't let the fear stop you. Don't let it get you to the point where you might even forget that there's an invitation to begin with. That's the point of this have no fear command or do not fear. And my guess is that for many of us, in those times when we have forgotten Jesus, whether it's occasionally or it's like an ongoing thing for you, my guess is that there's some underlying fear, and this maybe gets a little like psychoanalysis here, and you can think about your own life here a little bit. My guess is that there's some underlying fear that leads us down the path of forgetting him. Because the fear keeps us from following or relating to Jesus, connecting to him. And because there's that fear there, we say no, and then eventually we kind of distance ourselves from it, and pretty soon it's just kind of off in the bushes or off to the side. And it becomes forgotten. Maybe we fear what others will think of us if we take Jesus seriously. Maybe we fear that we will fail at faith, like we'll somehow fail that. Maybe we fear how Jesus will impact our life even though his promises are good. You know, we fear that we might set something aside that right now we hold near and dear to us. Maybe we fear being spiritually vulnerable. So we have our doubts and our fears, and then that can lead us to ultimately leaving him out, just forgetting Jesus. So I want to ask you tonight, what is the deeper thing, the fear that you have, that causes you to forget Jesus? And, you know, and if it's an ongoing lifelong thing for you, or the last decade or whatever for you of forgetting Jesus, that you might be able to think about that a little more readily. If it's something where generally you follow Jesus, but maybe there have been times where you haven't, you might have to think about, okay, what were those times? When could I have turned to him more, relied on the Holy Spirit more, and the fellowship of the church to support me, and all of that, right? That's the body of Christ. All that. When could I have done that? When did that happen? And I do want to encourage you, as you think about that, let's not forget that God is bigger than all of our fears. God is bigger than our fears. God's got this. Like the whole idea of maybe being afraid of failing at faith, don't worry about that. Faith the size of a mustard seed, Jesus says, is enough. God's got this. He's got you. He sees you. He is with you. I came across a story this week of a husband and wife who were both having some problems just remembering things, which, you know, that can be fear-inducing, especially if you're getting older in age maybe. But man, I don't know. I still, even at my age, I wouldn't consider myself old, 49 here in a couple of weeks. I forget things all the time. I walk into a room, I'm like, what on earth am I here for? I can't remember why I walked into the bonus room or whatever. So there's a couple who were having troubles with that, and they went to the doctor, and the doctor told them that, you know, they're physically okay, but, you know, you might want to start just writing things down just to help you remember. Just it's something you can do to help you remember. Well, later that night while watching TV, the man got up from his chair to go into the kitchen. He asked his wife, hey, while I'm in the kitchen, would you like me to get anything for you? And she said, yeah, you know, I'd love a bowl of ice cream. Could you get me a bowl of ice cream? And he said, sure. And then she said, well, don't you think, this is what the doctor said to do. Do you think maybe you should write it down so you can remember it? And he said, no, I can remember. That's a bowl of ice cream. That's easy. Well, I'd like strawberries on my ice cream. Maybe you should write that down or so that you'll remember to put the strawberries on it. No, that's okay, sweetie. I can do that. No, that's no problem. I can remember. Bowl of ice cream with strawberries on it. Well, I'd also like whipped cream on it. Maybe, please, would you please write it down so you remember? No, I got it. It's okay. You know, I don't need to write it down. I can remember. Ice cream, strawberries, and whipped cream. No problem. For goodness sake, just let me go do it. So he walked into the kitchen. About 20 minutes later, he returns from the kitchen and hands his wife a plate of bacon and eggs. She looks at the plate. She looks at him and says to him, "Where's the toast?" There's a hidden fear in that story, right? On the part of the guy. He doesn't want to acknowledge that he's having trouble remembering things and that he maybe ought to take the doctor's orders and start writing things down. It's probably pride, too, if we're honest about that. But I suspect that there's fear in those kind of things. Fear can paralyze us and keep us from doing what God is calling us to, you know, in our journey of faith. Our own fears and our pride as well, of course, can even open the door to forgetting Jesus. No one in the Christmas story gets paralyzed by fear. No one gets paralyzed by fear. When Mary and Joseph forgot Jesus in that incident, you know, 12 years later, they weren't paralyzed by fear then either. They went back to Jerusalem. So they'd already gone out one full day's journey. They realized they had forgotten Jesus. And then it doesn't tell us, but my guess is they had a pretty restless night of sleep. You know, like, that'd just be kind of scary, leaving your kid overnight in the city, even if there's relatives maybe there who might find him and take care of him. It's like, man, there's a lot of people. So probably a restless night of sleep. But then the next day, they took the full day's journey back to Jerusalem to find him. And they did. They found him in the temple. They found him in his father's house. And I would suggest to you that if you have forgotten Jesus, I would pray that you would not be paralyzed by fear and do nothing about it, but instead that you would return, as they did, and find Jesus, and that you might find him actually in the church. Like maybe in a church building, like maybe here this evening you might find Jesus, or within the fellowship of the church somewhere else. He's here for sure. Jesus has not left the building. He has not left the family of faith. He has not left the church. And he's here tonight. Like ski gear for skiing, we do not want to go through life and forget what's important. And the God of the universe, who has made life, who gives you your breath, who's given us life eternal, the possibility of it, you know, that is pretty important. It's kind of an understatement to say that God is pretty important. Jesus himself says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father," that's speaking of his heavenly Father, God, "no one comes to the Father except through me." Jesus is pretty important. So this Christmas, don't forget the baby. Going forward in 2022 and beyond, let's not forget Jesus. He was born, he lived, he grew up, he was crucified, he was raised a new life. Instead, let's fear not. Don't let your fears get the best of you. If you want to turn to Jesus and you want to begin that relationship and know him, maybe it helps, like the guy didn't do in that little story, maybe it helps to write it down so that you wouldn't forget. And then step forward in faith, trusting Jesus each and every day and for all of eternity. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this gift that you give us, that you have given us Jesus, who saves us from our sins, who gives us the opportunity to be in a genuine relationship with you, who gives us the hope of eternal life. Lord, help us not to forget Jesus this Christmas or the rest of our lives. We pray it all in the life-giving name of Jesus, and all the church said together, amen.